The Lord bless each and every one this morning. And we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service this morning in the name of the Lord. And we apologize for the cold. Some nights the heating's on, and some nights some people that come here rather than ourselves switch it off. But we're glad we're here anyhow. Amen. Praise God. And the Lord bless each and every one this morning that's here. And let us turn in the Word of God this morning to Hebrews chapter 6. And I hadn't planned to preach what I want to preach this morning. I want to preach on a priest forever. But I just felt this morning to go again and pray and wait on the Lord a little bit. And I just felt really strong to bring this morning. And I want to talk about inheriting the promises. God wants us to inherit the promises, not just to have them, but to inherit them. And there's a big difference in having them and inheriting them. And God wants us to inherit His promises. Hebrews 6, and let's read from verse 10 down to 13 of Hebrews 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and to minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had peacefully endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater an oath, for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Were God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. And by two immutable things, which means unchangeable, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we made a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope what is set before us. Let us bow our heads again this morning. Praise God. And if you have a need, while every head's bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious word of promise. We thank you, Lord, that your words are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, we do humbly approach you this morning in and through the name that thou hast set above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would bless your word to our hearts and our minds this morning, and even our bodies. Lord, that Jesus Christ may be uplifted and glorified in this service. We ask that you will bind every work of the enemy, that you will spoil his goods and bring them to naught in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every hand that's raised, you know every need. I pray that you will meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, for the glory of God. We ask for Brother Keith that thou would again touch him. Yes. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Amen. That thou would make him whole in Jesus Christ's name. Now Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you, undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to take a text this morning from the verses we have read, inheriting the promises. And God wants us to inherit the promises. If you go to Genesis, and you can keep your finger in it, or a brother put it up. You don't have to turn to it. But in Genesis 22, in verse 16 and 17, it says, And this is the Lord. And they look from verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven a second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as a star of heaven, and as a sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So God was telling Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham, but Abraham had to have faith in God to believe that promise. And we know that another portion of Hebrews, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I believe we're living in a day of unbelief. I believe we're living in a day where many people that profess Christianity are full of unbelief. So full of unbelief, and unbelief is a sin. You know, to disbelieve God is sin. And when you study Abraham, you have to read Genesis, you have to read the book of Romans, and when you study these books, that you know that the Bible says many, many times, Abraham believed God. Now, Abraham did not believe God for something Abraham could do himself. You don't need to believe God for something you can do. Because if you were able to do it, why would you need to believe God? You go ahead and do it. But Abraham believed God for something that Abraham was not able to do. Abraham believed God for something that was absolutely impossible. Abraham believed God for something that was beyond his natural reach as far as a human could go. Abraham believed God for something that was beyond the reach of the scientists of his day, which was beyond the reach of the medical world of his day. Abraham believed God.
Amen.
Abraham had a need. And God answered Abraham according to that need. Abraham prayed to God. Abraham said to God, I have no seed. Shall this Eliezer be the one to take over? That's what he said when you read Genesis from 18 down. And God said no, that this Eliezer won't be the one to inherit the promises, but by thy seed Abraham. And God knew that Abraham had no children, and Abraham knew that he had no children, and Abraham's wife Sarah was beyond the age of having children, so they were starting with something that was absolutely impossible. But the word of God says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You're not working with man here, you're working with Almighty God. You're working with the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. You're working with the one that spoke this world into being, Almighty God. Who is God? God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. And even before he was God, he was a self-existing one that dwelt alone with his thoughts. That's God. And I tell you, if you can do it, or if I can do it, and Abraham didn't wrestle around the ground, and he didn't wrestle with anything at all, but he believed. Right. And God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe His Word. He wants us to believe what His Word says. And it's only when we believe with all of our hearts we can have it. Only believe. All things are possible when we believe God. Look over at Romans 4. You know, Romans 4 and chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even if they're dead, God can raise the dead. That's what it's saying. The God we serve is able to raise the dead. I want you to know this morning that this is a supernatural book. And we serve a supernatural God. We don't serve some dead religion. We don't serve some dead monumental sort of a thing. But we are believers and we're serving the living God of heaven.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive.
Amen.
The cross is empty. He's no longer on it. The tomb is empty. He's no longer there. Death could not hold his prey. Jesus rose from the dead. I was going to preach this morning on a priest forever. I'm going to show you that a priest, this priest Jesus, is forever. Not only is this priest Jesus forever, but he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is the highest order there is. Higher than any other order. It's higher than the Levitical order.
Yes,
it's forever. And this priest came in by an oath. And we've already read it. He swore by himself.
Yes.
Almighty God has made a promise. It's not the pastor of the church, or the elder, or the deacon. This is Almighty God. This is God's own word. And all God requires is that we believe his word.
Amen.
Believe the Lord. And doubt your doubts. You could also read in James 2. In James chapter 2. Look what James 2 says. Verse 20 to 26. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? He acted.
Yes.
He believed it and he acted.
Yes.
He acted in faith. He moved in faith. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. God gave Abraham righteousness because he believed. You see, we have the wrong mindset. We think the holier we live, the better we are. That'll make us righteous. Absolute nonsense. You can do all the works you want to do. That will never make you righteous. You can put your bid out for your neighbor. You can go and do a day's work for them and not charge them. You'll not be one bit more righteous. Your righteousness only comes by believing God what he's done.
Yes.
It's what Jesus has done for you that makes you righteous. And Abraham believed God. And on the fact that he believed, that was accounted to him for righteousness. Nothing else. But the fact that he believed, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
God wants us to believe. He doesn't want us to be doubting his word. Verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way. They acted. They had the faith, but because they had faith, they acted. They acted on the faith they had. They did it. Praise God. Let me read you a little something this morning. Only believe. It makes us to know that all we have to do in our to inherit any of God's promises, just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So God wants us to believe. The man that had the epileptic child cried to God, Lord, help thou my unbelief. If we have unbelief, we need to confess it. If we go and do something that we know we shouldn't do, what do we do about it? We go to God and we say, Lord, I've done it, I confess it. The Bible says if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to believe Him. Amen. Who vindicates it right back and right in the physical. You see, Abraham, it started off with just some words. It started off that God said to Abraham, and you're going to have children. An impossibility God started with. And Abraham had a need. Abraham prayed about that need. That need was the need of children. That they have someone that would succeed. That they have someone, a seed that would come along to take up the promise. So it started with a need. What's your need? Have you a need? If you have a need, then you can take these scriptures. Because Abraham had a need. And Abraham sought God because of his need. And God met Abraham right at the point of his need. And not only did God meet Abraham right at the point of his need, but it was material to start with. That was just words. But because Abraham believed, the words became material.
Yes, sir.
The words became something. The words manifested into material. God interpreted His own word when He said to him by manifesting. God's His own interpreter. And you know that Sarah conceived. And you know if you study the Bible and you read the book of Romans that it said it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It was absolutely impossible for Sarah to have children. It ceased to be with her. An old woman, 97 years of age. The power of God done something, and she had a child. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe these things. Full on belief. You know this country's full on belief. People preach unbelief sermons. It mightn't be God's will. You better be careful. Well, if you don't know God's will, read the will.
Amen.
Here's the will. This is God's will. Testament. New Testament is an old English word for will. So New Testament means new will. So you read the will. What's the will say? The will says in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's in the will.
Amen.
The will says, the children quoted from the book of Acts, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall receive. That's in this will. This will says in James, if you call the elder of the church and anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save them. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven.
Yes,
if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. And God will raise them up and heal them and deliver them. That's in the will. Now there's one thing about this will. This will never be rewritten. This will remains the same. God could swear by no greater, so He swore by Himself. Remember that God never changes His mind about His word. How many knows that? God never changes His mind about His word. Didn't God's servant preach a message? The unchanging God with unchanging ways. Unchanging! And the unchanging God, whatever God says, God's able to do. But you have to believe it. Now don't be like Sarah. Sarah thought Abraham needed a hand. And she says, you may go and have Hagar. And this word will come to pass. You will have children, Abraham. Go and have Hagar. And we know that Abraham took Hagar and she bore him a son. But God said that's not him. Because God said, Sarah shall conceive and bear thee a son, not Hagar. God doesn't need a hand. Because if we can give God a hand, we don't need God. God comes on the scene when nobody else can do it. That's when you need God. I believe God's the same. Look with me in Romans 7. Now these are two books you need to tie if you're going to study them. It's Genesis and Romans. Romans 7 verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We're in a pest house. We are needing deliverance.
Yes.
You know, William Branham made a statement once. He says, how can we have faith for a rupture or a body change if we can't have faith for divine healing? That's a statement he made. We ought to have faith. You can call yourself message, you can call yourself Pentecostal, call yourself whatever you want. I'm not too worried. I'm a Pentecostal by an experience. But I tell you, God wants us to have faith. God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to expect what He can do anything. He wants you to expect that He can save the biggest drunkard in your town. He wants you to expect that He can raise the dead and straighten the cripple. That's what God wants you to expect. If you read 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57 and 58, it talks about a body change. We're going to get a body change.
Amen.
We are going to be delivered from this pest house. Now I know so many preachers take these scriptures and they read them and they say, now there you are, you don't need to worry about it. God's going to change your body and you can go on the way arm. That's just the way it is. Well, I'm sorry. That's not for me.
Amen.
Sorry about that. But that's not this preacher. I believe the word of God. That while you're here, that you're promised 70 years and you're promised 10 more by reason of health according to this Bible.
Amen.
And I believe the word of God promises health till an evil and strength our bones. While we're here. And I don't believe that God wants us to be defeated. I believe sickness came because of sin. Sin came because of the devil. And Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. Therefore Jesus Christ is the remedy for sickness.
Amen.
I believe that healing is in the atonement. Salvation's in it. Healing's in it. By the stripes of Jesus Christ we're healed. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us. We can expect to be healed while we're in these bodies.
Yes.
We can expect to live a healthy life according to what God's allotted in His Word.
Amen.
We have a right to pray against any other.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Abraham didn't say, now, if you don't read in Genesis 18, he'll now, Lord, I'll tell you what it is. Should I go down and adopt a few children? Because I have none of my own. And you know, sure as possible, when you read me to the right adoption agent, and I'm not against adoption, but that's not what Abraham prayed.
Right.
Abraham had a need. God answered him according to his need. I want you to get this clear this morning in your mind, that God answered Abraham according to his need. What's that got to do with it? This Bible says he's the same.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same. And the Bible also says that he is no respecter of persons. So if Abraham can pray and God can meet Abraham according to his need. The same God that made Abraham can meet you, because you and me, according to this Bible and the teaching of St. Paul, are the royal seed of Abraham. Do you believe that? Word of God says we are. Because if you're of faith, you're of Abraham's seed. Now, don't believe it physically, like some people preach, we're a lost tribe and we're Britons, all that. I don't believe any of that stuff. I'm talking about spiritually. We can see the victory is given to us. If given to us, then it's a gift, then it's ours. How many believes it? Go with me to chapter 9 of Romans. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 9. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And Brother John often prays that very scripture. It is God that showeth mercy. Now you're not here this morning, and you're not saved this morning because you decided on a certain date. I'm changing all around. That's nothing to do with it.
Right.
If you think that, you're wrong. You are here this morning because this Bible says, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become the sons of God even before the foundation of the world. God knew you, and he knew all about you. Even before you were born, God knew you. And God had determined within himself, before the foundation of the world, that you would be saved. You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's the word of God. So it is God's determining, and it was God's choosing, that God choose you. Now God did not choose you, and God did not choose me to be the tail. But God chose us that he could show his mercy in us, that he could show his power in us, that he could show his blessing in us. Because the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Philippians tells us that. You see, we just don't believe he is God, but God who is our Father. Now, doesn't the Bible say, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? God, being our Father, loves us. And the Bible says God is love. Now, you know, if you have children, you love them. And if you don't, you need to get seen to. You ought to. If God has given you the responsibility of a parent, and whether you have a son or a daughter or both, you have a love for them. Nobody needs to sit you down and tell you you have it. It's within you. There's something within you for them that you have it for them. It's God given. How much more then does God love his children? And God does not put sickness on his children. Don't you believe that for one moment in this meeting. That's a lie. You say, oh, but Job, and quote me all these scriptures. I want to address that this morning. We are not living under the old law or in the Old Testament, and nobody else needs to be crucified or suffer the birth to heaven, because the Bible says Jesus Christ suffered and died alone and bore the burden for me and you. Jesus has done it. I will never have to go on to the cross to be saved. Jesus done it for me, and he done it for you. My Bible says plainly and clearly that by the stripes of Jesus Christ I am healed. The same word of God in the Old Testament says he sent his word and healed them. Do you believe it this morning? Hallelujah. Of God who is great, full of mercy, to show us mercy. We were told to inherit any of God's promises, just believe them. Just believe them. The right mental attitude toward the promise of God will bring it to pass. I'll tell you, the society we're living in today, I meet people every day. Oh, you'll never be the same again. Oh, you've hurt yourself. Well, that's you finished now. You'll always have that pain. You will never be the same again. Don't expect to get no better. You'll never be the same again. You'll always have it. That's a lie.
Yeah.
But that's what we're brainwashed with. We're brainwashed with it can't be done. Here's a new saying you have today. I hear it. It is what it is. Well, it's not what it is. Because that's contrary to the Bible. The Bible says through Paul's writing, speak those things that are not into being as though they were. There's a wee man, and he was a missionary, you know, out in David, someone was his name. God mightily used him anyhow. But he was out somewhere, and God sent him as a missionary, and he needed a bank, push bank. And he needed a table, and he needed several things, and God told him they're yours. He prayed through, he believed God said they're yours. So the man he knew, and this man he knew, was in this country where he was, and he was heading back home, and he had a bank and a table and all the things this fellow David needed. And he went down into his house and he thanked him for him and praised God, and your fellow said, I haven't told you a price yet. And he said, there's no price. They're mine. He said, what do you mean they're yours? He said, God told me they're mine. There's no price. And he ended up getting them. And they cost him nothing. You say, I don't believe that. Who's ever heard of Billy Bray? Billy Bray was a great man of God. There was a fellow had furniture, and there was horse and carts in them days. And he saw this sort of the wardrobe, whatever it was back then. And he said to himself, you know, that wardrobe would do me to preach on. His plan was he'd set it up and stand on it and preach from it. And God told him the price for it. Let's say it was a pound. Now it might have been a pound then. Whatever the money was back then. But let's say it was a pound. And God told him it was a pound. It's yours, Billy. It's a pound. And the auctioneer went off and it reached him at 14 pounds. And Billy Bray goes back behind the fence and he starts praying and talking to God. And he says, Lord, you told me it was a pound. God said, that's right, it is a pound. And he said, well, how come this fellow's bought it for 14 pounds? He said, never you worry, well, he bought it for a pound for you. So they got it in the horse and cart, the fellow bought it at 14 pounds, he followed him home. And come to find out when the boy got it home, it wouldn't fit through the door of his house. And he said, I've got a pound for it, sir. Billy Bray jumped out and says, there's your pound. I tell you, that's a true story of what God can do.
Yeah.
I tell you, God's real.
Right.
God is real. Yeah. The society we're living in wants to fill us with unbelief.
Right. Yeah.
When I hurt my back, a fella told me, every time he sees me, tells me, you'll never be the same. You've always had the pains. You'll never be the same. Well, I'm feeling all right this morning.
Yeah.
And you know what's happening as well in our society? They tell they're not well when they are well. They prophesy sickness on themselves. I'm not feeling too good. My heart's not too good. Someone else's not too good. I don't understand why people want to be sick. So that he can live or the government and be sick. God wants us to have health. God wants to bless us. God wants to prosper us. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he's not fit to eat. God doesn't. Society where nobody works, that's not God's society. That's the world we're living in today. Everybody knows I'm preaching the truth. Abraham believed God. Remember, only those who are ordained to eternal life can come. Do you know that? Now, the gospel must be preached to all. But only those who are ordained can come. Look at Acts 13, verse 38. The book of Acts 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, brethren, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. For verse 48, sorry. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They were ordained. In Acts 13, verse 48. To those who were ordained. There's people, if they're not ordained, they'll never come. But they were ordained to eternal life. God ordained them. The bishop down the road didn't ordain them. He couldn't ordain nobody. There's no preacher can ordain somebody. It's Almighty God that can ordain someone. And He does it from the foundation of the world. And when the gospel's preached, it reaches that sea. Something happens. If you read in Matthew 9, verse 29. Matthew 9, verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Have you got faith to believe it? Are you going to believe God? You say, preacher, can you tell me how to get more faith? Well, the first thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to stop listening to unbelief to start with. You can't listen to unbelief preachers. You can't listen, read unbelief papers. Or close your ears to unbelief speakers. You're going to have to start hearing men and women of faith. And you're going to have to read this word. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the words of God. The television needs replaced with the Bible. The newspaper needs replaced with the word of God. Our conversation must be of things in heaven, not things on earth. We need to come into another realm of spirituality in the things of God if we're going to come into the plane of the supernatural. Mr. Micklesworth told Lester Simmerall. Lester Simmerall came to Smith Wigglesworth's house, a young preacher, in his fancy dandy clothes. Tell to himself, he was dressed as one of them golf players. I don't know how they dress now. But he tells to himself, the trousers and all, he describes it all. It's fascinating to read it all, listen to it. But anyhow, dress made no difference. But he comes anyway, but there's one thing did. He came to Swiss Wigglesworth. And Wigglesworth spotted a newspaper under his arm. And he said, you can't come in here with that. Leave it outside if you're coming in here. A newspaper. And he said, why? He said, because it's full of lies. And the country has been brainwashed with fake news. Fake news in newspapers and fake news over the airwaves. Fake news. But this here's real news. This is true news. This is vindicated news. This is proven news. This is the most up-to-date Bible in the whole world. This word of God. Not fake news. God wants you to have real news. Real news is Jesus saves. Real news is Jesus died for sinners. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's real news. Real news is in the healer. A healer of every sickness. A healer of every disease. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. And He even raised the dead. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus we preach. We believe the words George Jeffrey said, that He's a Savior, He's a healer, He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and He's a soon coming King. What truth is them statements? Were they the truth? We believe it this morning. What is faith? It is a revelation. Something that has been revealed to you. And if it has been revealed to you, it belongs to you. God wants you to faith. He wants you to believe Him this morning. Amen. Your neighbor might say, it can never happen. The doctor might say, there's nothing more I can do. He's just doing his best. We appreciate the doctors. We appreciate the medical. We pray for them. The Lord uses them. But what about when they can't do nothing? God can do something. Jack Cole Jr. stood in this very hall. I don't agree with all the things he did. Don't think I do, because I don't. In terms of, I wouldn't even go into it. But there's one thing I'll tell you what. He was dying. And he was opened up on a surgical table, filled with cancer, riddled with cancer, and they closed him up and said, there's nothing we can do for you. You won't live 6 months. And 30 years later, God gave him 30 more years. Amen. I know a man in England, in Sharon's father's church, was diagnosed with cancer. In England. And that's quite a few years ago now, and he's still living. He believed God. He changed his diet. He stopped eating a lot of stuff he was eating. He changed his diet. And I tell you this morning, God's people need to change their spiritual diet. Because it's too much rubbish. And we need to start feasting on the Word of God. Feasting on men that preach His faith. That believe in the power of God. God wants us to feast on that. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. That we may do the words of this law. See, faith, revelation, it's what's revealed to you. God reveals it to you. And when God reveals it to you, it belongs to you. Now, you say, explain yourself. God revealed to you one day, you were saved, didn't it? How did He do it? How did God reveal to you you were saved? Well, preacher, I felt saved. No. No. No, 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 no. Feeling saved's nothing to do with it. How do you know you're saved? I looked saved. No. No, 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 no. Now, I want you to know that I got this lesson every single week for weeks and weeks. With an old sister, she's at home now. Still living. She asked me the same thing. Tommy, she said, how do you know you're saved? And I had to answer. How did I know I was saved? Well, because I look saved? No. Because I act saved? No. No, 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 no. No, here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess to your mouth, if you believe in your heart, that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why am I saved? Because I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart. And because it says in the Bible, I'm saved. I am therefore saved because of the Word of God. I'm not saved because I feel saved or look saved or act saved. All that comes with it. That's not it. How are you healed then? Well, I'll wait to see if I feel it. Well, what if you don't feel it then? Will you go and say, I haven't got it? Never felt the thing, so I haven't got it. That's not faith. What you've just done or you've worked on feeling. Do you think Abraham said, will I wait till I feel it? No. Abraham waited 20-something years. But he believed God. Do you think he felt it? He believed it. He believed the word of God. What about the five senses of the body? See, hear, taste, smell, all the senses of your body. But there's another sense. There's a sixth sense. The sixth sense is not see, hear, or smell, or any other thing. The sixth sense is faith. Faith is a sixth sense. Faith believes. Faith believes that God can do it. Faith believes. I heard a testimony of Brother Ian sent me the other week. A young gypsy lad, how he could see it, a real tearaway of a boy. God saved him. He was going for medical treatment because he couldn't have children. Him and his wife couldn't have children. He didn't need it either. God healed him. And they had children. God's able to do it. I think it was one of the first times I went to Australia. And I preached at Brother Brian Freeborn's. There's a woman came in the prayer line. And she said, Brother, I can't have any children. They've told me it's not medically possible. She was prayed for. I was back over in another part of Australia, Brother Quasi's church, a couple of years, whatever it was later, and here this woman comes up and she just throws this baby into my arms. I was in shock. She more or less just gave me the baby. She says, you remember me? I says, no. Says, I'm the woman that came in Adelaide. You couldn't have the baby. She said, here's the baby. God gave her it. But she believed. She believed. I've been asked to pray for different strange things over the years. I was thinking about the other day. I wouldn't even tell you some of them. But God's done it. Because the people needed it. Now my point this morning, and I'm coming to close, what's your need? I'm not talking about someone you can do without. I'm talking about what is your need? God answered Abraham according to his need. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will answer you according to your need this morning. Do you believe it? Let's come and bow our heads. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Let us stand on our feet. Let us just bow our heads and praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will move in this meeting this morning. Lord, you answered Abraham according to his need. And your word says you're no respecter of persons. Lord, I pray that you'll meet needs this morning. You know the needs that's on hearts. You know the needs we have before us. As a congregation, we've been praying for Brother Keith. Lord, you know all these needs. Lord, your word's promised that you keep an eye on your word to confirm it and to bring it to pass. There's not one word goes awry or amiss, but what you watch over it and bring it to pass. Father, we know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by thy Spirit, says the Lord. Father, we're asking for an intervention, for an interception of the power of Almighty God. Come this morning and answer prayer, and to deliver and heal and see him in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we know you're more than able. We know when you walked here on earth 2,000 years ago, that you healed the sick and you raised the dead and you cleansed the leper. Lord, we've talked about it, we've preached about it, that you're the same, that your ministry is the same, your message is the same, your power is the same, your presence is the same. But Lord, we have a need this morning. God, we're praying that you'll come down and you'll meet with your children and you'll answer them according to that need. That by the stripes of Jesus Christ, people might be healed this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, grant it this morning, I ask it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Amen. Just let's keep our eyes closed. If someone had asked for prayer, start a service. So we're going to just, maybe a brother can play someone softly or sing whatever he feels led. And there's a brother standing in for prayer for someone. I want him to come. I won't ask the deacons to come and anoint with oil. And if anyone else here wants prayer, I want you to step out in faith and believe God. And I believe God can touch you this morning. Praise God.